Hey team, this is Grant David Collins, and welcome to Giving is a Skill, a grassroots giving podcast where ordinary people like you and me learn how to create meaning, impact, and connection with our time, talents, and money, regardless of the amount. On this episode, we get to experience what I like to call the messy middle with my good friend, Austin Heath. So let's get started. As human beings, we really like finished results. It's usually one of the reasons that actually drive us to start something in the first place. But if you've ever started anything, you know that it's in the messy middle that the real work occurs. It's the failed pitches, the 20th trip to Home Depot, or the lonely Friday nights at home. And while we've all lived in the messy middle, we typically don't like to consume content that falls into this unfinished category. Well, today, at least if you keep listening to this episode, you're going to get the chance to see what you can learn from something that is unfinished. Austin Heath, one of my very close friends, sat down with me to talk about what he wants to do to give back over this past weekend. Now, Austin is still formulating the good that he wants to create in the world. And so our conversation doesn't follow the normal path to resolution. But the more I've thought about what we talked about, the more I've realized how often this is our as-lived experience and how much we can actually learn from people who are right now working through the struggle that is creation. To give you just a quick background about Austin, and then I promise we will actually get into the conversation. Austin grew up in a family rich with service and giving experience. His grandparents spent over 10 years of their lives serving missions for their church, and much of Austin's upbringing revolved around his parents' focus on working for and building nonprofit endeavors. So when Austin was old enough, he wanted to start getting involved. There was just one problem, though. He didn't have any money.
Yeah, I think my parents did a great job of trying to encourage ownership. And part of that was you have to find a way to pay for these things. Mm. We're not going to really tell you how to do that. And so I felt this pressure to go and find some income earning opportunity. And that started with, what can I give? What skills do I have? Working as a tutor. And the summer months were not really conducive to being a tutor for a lot of the school kids in the neighborhood. And so I went looking and started talking to neighbors and found this kind of internship opportunity that would fit. And through that process, I learned quickly how things can move at the speed of trust. Like, they know that I know this executive, and so therefore somehow they trust me that I'm going to be an effective employee. And so early on, I started feeling like, man, corporate America is full of nepotism, and it's full of these kinds of insider circles. And so over the first couple of years of my university experience, I was finding job opportunities for myself that I felt like I wasn't necessarily capable of. And I think about the Steve Young quote that the best ability is availability. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm just available. I'm here. I have enough rapport with some decision makers, so I'll get in and see how I can contribute. And because these roles were never, there was never a recruiter with a list of responsibilities, it was kind of this creative opportunity to say, what can I give? How can I make an impact in this team, this company? But I also found that I was a little bit disenchanted with how there were lots of my peers that were more capable in specific, you know, skill sets than I was that probably should have been doing the job. And so I was always kind of looking to say, hey, can you help me with this task that we have at work? And finding out that my friends were skilled in these areas but couldn't find a role for themselves.
Yeah.
And so quickly I started, you know, finding out ways that I could help my peers find roles that were interesting to them. But all through that, there was kind of this thread of, why is the system so broken? Matching talent to job opportunities, and looking at it from the side of being a candidate, and realizing that a lot of what people are paid and what people are entrusted with in terms of work just comes down to whether or not someone actually knows what they're worth. Like, I think of that story of a water bottle being worth, you know, $6 at an airport versus, you know, $3 at a convenience store versus 50 cents at the grocery store versus, you know, free if you get it out of the tap.
Yeah.
And realizing that so many job seekers have no idea what their value is.
Yeah.
In terms of a dollar amount, but also just in terms of the impact that they can have on a team.
Yeah.
And on a company. And so for me, it's been this kind of constant question of, why can't the world design a better system for matching talent to opportunities?
Yeah. I really like what you've spoken into there, because it really is a good example that giving doesn't always have to show up as we normally think it does. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes when we talk about giving and service, we talk about them in terms of food donations or as like mentorship opportunities. And those things are all great. Like, there's nothing wrong with those types of opportunities. And there are so many other ways that someone can get involved that are impactful to an individual. And what you've been talking about has struck me and rings true for me as well, because I'm in the people HR space from a professional side of the equation, is how much knowing someone's personal value and being able to go and find a job that is fulfilling, how much that affects somebody's life.
Yeah.
And how much, if we are able to get involved or help in that, how much leverage we have to be able to promote somebody's personal development and have more of an exponential experience in terms of their impact if we're able to start to help people work through some of this system that is convoluted or has these, you know, different incentives that sometimes people don't know about. I just think there's so much value in what you're talking about. And it's just a really good example for those that are listening that you don't always have to start giving in the ways that normally are viewed as, this is really like important. This is on an advertisement somewhere.
Yeah. I think that Frederick Douglass said it best when he said, what the man works on the man. And we spend so many of our waking hours thinking about work, income, working to earn some sort of income. And it's just probably years after we switched a career or we're in a different stage of life that we can only then see with clarity how the team that we worked with or the market that we served, that, wow, this engagement, this pursuit really shaped the way I view the world or view myself.
Yeah.
And I've seen, you know, in recent years, I've been on the other side of the hiring equation. So for most of my early university years, I'm seeing it from the candidate side and the emotional kinds of ups and downs of, right, I might have this job offer and now I need to negotiate. And, I don't really feel like I'm contributing to this job and I'm looking to jump somewhere else. Now I've been on the other side of interviewing and being a part of the hiring decision. And I realize how arbitrary it is sometimes.
Yeah.
Where it comes down to, you know, the hiring manager saying, well, I really liked this person.
Yeah.
And like, what do you mean? How do we compare these five candidates? And sometimes it's just this emotional decision that we don't actually know, did we get the right person?
Yeah.
And, you know, my two most recent roles, there's been major restructuring around me where a leader feels like there's been some mismanagement, there's been a lack of vision. And so the weight of that restructuring on everybody that's left, not to mention the person who's been pushed out, you know, and has to figure out what they're going to do to support their family and stay valuable. it's just a very expensive activity to try to match talent with opportunities. And oftentimes we glamorize the stories of people who pushed back on the system and went their own way.
Right.
But most people aren't in a stage of life or don't actually have the reason to be that entrepreneurial.
Yeah, right.
Right. And so just telling everybody, well, the only way to actually earn your keep or to make an impact in the world is to go out and be a lone wolf is probably not the answer.
Hmm.
And so I'm at a stage now where I've had a couple of, you know, recent, in the last 3 months, types of experiences where I've been trying to help candidates that are searching to think about a number of kind of variables in their life, engage like what risk tolerance do I have right now? And there's tons of good content out there. So yeah. I'm kind of a librarian right now for folks to say, you know, think about these factors. Let's be introspective here and let's make sure that what you're looking for is actually what you want and actually what it's going to drive you and your growth. And it's been hard for me because I feel like being a librarian of information is exactly that. It's like, you know, when was the last time you felt like the librarian at the local library really drove you in the direction you needed to go in your life or was transformational for you?
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to find ways that I can step beyond just being kind of a sparring partner, a sounding board, and a kind of a resource for people.
Yeah.
Like, how can I actually help people find professional meaning and direction in a way that matches not just the candidate side, but I'm also helping prepare the role, the opportunity that they're going to be jumping into on the market side or on the company side.
Yeah. What has, in your mind, gotten in the way of you being more actively involved in this process of getting involved with people's lives and seeing yourself as somebody that can make a difference in the lives of individuals and be more than what you described, be more than a librarian?
Sure. Yeah, I think I've been active in the sense that I've looked at having these conversations pretty regularly with those around me, but I've lacked some sort of template, some sort of system, some sort of way to reach a broader audience. So I'm like still stuck in this. I'm talking about careers. I'm talking about professional, you know, meaning and purpose because it's something that I'm constantly looking for myself.
Mm.
And so those around me are hearing about it and feel like they can speak to, you know, where they're at. And so I think at the root of my giving, it's this is something that I'm trying to solve for myself. I'm trying to figure out how I can get a sense of the terrain and I can continue to find meaning in the work that I do. In terms of like, okay, now I've made sure that this system works or these few anecdotal experiences I've had are actually transferable to a lot of folks. That's where I get a little bit of that imposter syndrome and saying, okay, I've got a system or a method that I'm going to share with the world.
Yeah.
I think that job hunting, careers, and just personal development is something that's very personal. And a lot of folks have a hard time just openly sharing that or buying into some sort of like group. It's this one-on-one experience.
Yeah.
And so that's where I've stayed. It feels like, okay, we can just in one-on-one interactions, we can start to unpack. But to your point, like what level of impact is that having? You know, one or two folks every few months that I can really kind of start from the beginning of what do you want in your life to, okay, now I'm in a role that I feel like fits what I've been looking for. Like I'd love to see, for my own sake, more folks, situations, backgrounds, so that I can continue to get a fuller picture for myself.
Yeah.
How does this pursuit of professional meaning work?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the thing that I'm interested in this conversation is how do we get more of you out into the world
yeah.
that is currently in a place that needs a lot of this help and support. Mm. You know, we have a economy that is in some ways dropping, and people are losing their jobs, and there's yeah. not as many as there used to be, and those types of trends. And whether or not that continues,
yeah,
people always need this type of help and strength, and it's what produces the resources that they can then
sure.
go out and use to give. And so one of the reasons why I was so interested in having this conversation and talking about, you know, how can we take where we are at from an intellectual stage and move it into a way that you feel like you can get involved and other people feel like they are getting that benefit is because it's just so needed in
yeah.
the world right now.
Yeah, I've seen for myself, you know, a handful of my own kind of job cycle of looking for a role, going through the steps, starting in the role, and then the role winding down. And I think that to answer your last question of what's keeping you from jumping from, you know, actively looking to support those around you to proactively looking for others that don't know that they're alone in their search. They don't even realize that they need support. They don't realize how draining
yeah.
professional search can be. I think that there's been some kind of fallacy, limiting belief in my mind that, oh, I should just wait until I've had my career, 20 years of working in organizations.
Yeah.
That then, you know, when my career is winding down, that's when I'll be the most effective coach, and just kind of hope yeah. that the skills will come and the network will be there. And then that's prime time.
Totally.
But there is some part of me that knows that that's not going to happen naturally.
Right.
And so I think that there's this idea that so much of our perspective is just shaped by what we're proximate to.
Yeah.
And I've been proximate to other candidates. I haven't had enough proximity to how decisions are made from the company side or from the market. And that's where, in talking to you, I see, and you kind of round out my perspective here, if I'm going to really make the jump into being more actively involved and actually making a broader impact than just saying, I'll be a resource, I'll check in on you, let's see what intros I can make, you know, folks that can get you a better perspective of what this role might be or how to differentiate yourself, to actually go and say, what are the challenges of candidate hiring and career development from the HR side or the recruiting side of the house?
Yeah. Yeah. And what I would also put there is that mentality of waiting until you are rich or retired, either in money or in skill or in talent.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the biggest fallacies that are out there, because it's a completely different thing to utilize that experience to be helpful or utilize those funds to be helpful. And so if we wait until we are rich or retired in any of those three areas, yeah, we'll have a huge well and bank of skill or money or those types of things, but we're going to be missing this connection.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, as we kind of wind into, you know, what could it look like for you to start to get involved in this today?
Sure.
In your sphere of influence in a way that would be reachable. That's really where I want to steer the conversation is, yeah, let's view it from that perspective so that in 20 years, like, Austin not only has the skill,
yeah.
he has the delivery mechanism that is not only helping one person, but, you know, hundreds of people, if that's kind of what you
yeah.
desire.
Yeah, I think that starting with an audience of one is certainly easier than trying to figure out how to help everybody.
Yeah.
And so my audience of one at this point has usually been one person, one candidate at a time. And each situation's unique, right? I had a conversation this week with one of my close friends' siblings about, you know, I'm graduating here. I found this job that was posted today. I'm really thinking it's a good fit. And I kind of had this conversation to say, let's take a step back and let's make sure, like, we're considering what is it that's driving this emotion? Is it just this fear of I'm graduating and don't have a job? Or is this actually a role where you feel like you could really shine?
Yeah.
And then through talking, we figure out that she doesn't actually know anybody that's worked there. She doesn't actually know what the team there is needing other than just what's written in this posting. And I'm asking her, what could we do that would get you a foot in the door?
Yeah.
And it happens to be a publication for a school alumni program.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm asking her, you know, like, can we go and find out what this, you know, business school, what kind of alumni they want to feature that haven't been featured, and starting to collect kind of this bag of, if I were in this role day one, here's what I would want to start working on. You know, yeah. I have this kind of section of stories that I would want to go and pursue. And I have, you know, a sense of like past publications. It feels like the publications are lacking in this area. And instead of an interview being about the candidate and when I start and how much you're going to pay me and whether or not I'm better than the other candidates, it's like, let's just throw that out the door.
Yeah.
And let's think about what your employer needs and where you want to drive the team and areas that you want to bring creative ideas to the room and how much easier that is for you in that first interview to find out, is the team going to be open to the things that I want to work on?
Totally.
Do my skills actually contribute, or are they just looking for someone to kind of clock in, clock out?
Yeah.
And that discussion can be so much more exciting for both parties when it breaks the mold of, okay, here we are, first interview, let's go through the regular questions.
Right.
And so I'm having those kinds of conversations that I feel like are fun for me to kind of think creatively and to see what different candidates are facing. But I'm lacking that audience of one on the side of what does the recruiting team think?
Yeah.
And how do we speed up that trust? Because I mentioned to you, recognizing, you know, in high school, the power of nepotism and how there's this kind of this fear that that's not actually a good barometer of a candidate's abilities, right? Like a decision maker here trusts this person. So as a recruiting team, we should trust them too.
Yeah.
So sitting down with, you know, a single company, a single recruiter, and finding out what's a challenge for you in identifying talent. And can we design some sort of system or some, not even a system yet. Like, can we just start with a single page of information that I need to collect on a candidate that will help you as a recruiter know quickly whether or not this role is going to fit? And, you know, that could be a local company. That could be, you know, I've got a few friends in the recruiting space, so I don't know specifically who I'd start with, but for me, I need to be able to be pretty honest with them and say, like, this is why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this to get paid.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because I want to understand why this world of recruiting is so broken. So I think that the kind of the two components of, I need to find an audience of one on the other side of the fence. Yeah. And then two, I need to find someone who's going to understand what my motivations are here. And be willing to kind of have some after hours chats about what's really going on and whether or not some crazy ideas I might have or they might have, whether or not they're actually willing to try to work through this with me. Because I realize I'm an outsider. I'm a virus trying to like come into a system and shake things up, and they have no reason to work with me.
Yeah.
Other than maybe I can find them a candidate that they wouldn't have found on their own.
Right. It kind of seems to me like you see there are these two distinct worlds that you want to be a bridge between. You have the candidate or the individual who is looking for a career opportunity, and you have the company who is looking for somebody to fill some sort of role.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that you feel fairly comfortable in the candidate space, but on the company space, as far as what you could do that would actually be helpful for them, is maybe a question mark on your side of the equation. And that obviously would inform the other side, where you're involved with people, you're talking to them, you're looking to, you know, build a resume or an intention around their career. Like, in the recruiting space, what would actually be useful so that you don't have to spend your time ineffectively with these individuals on things that aren't really actually going to make
sure
a difference. And it seems like, oftentimes, especially in our world, we want to be able to do things instantly that have an impact. Like we want to resort to action instead of listening. And that's almost what I'm hearing in what you're saying is this big opportunity around being able to go out and take a conversation or two to really listen and then start to deploy what you learn from those listenings in a way with a singular candidate to be able to start to make that bridge a little bit more firm and to, in some ways, look at it from that perspective and saying, okay, let's think about where the candidate's at or the individual is at, and let's think about where companies typically come from and where do I want to play in that space and where am I going to be the most helpful? And it might not be in solving every piece of that.
Sure.
You know, the challenges that come in that process. It might be, hey, there is a really impactful way that I can be involved in this scenario. And then starting with that one area and expanding from there seems to be something that could be really reachable for you and could really start to show up as you being able to not only help people with the skill set that you have and the network that you have, but also to be able to take a initial approach that allows you to start where you are and to be able to have an impact, a really important impact over time as you start line upon line leveling up your skill set and understanding in this space.
I think most of the peers that I've seen do this more effectively than me are ones that specialize in I understand the path from this role to this executive, right? Their specialty is a specific domain. And I've been a generalist thus far in my career. And so I've kind of avoided understanding the actual functional skill components that could give this company confidence. Like, I can't speak to this person's actual skills in the areas that you're hiring them.
Yeah.
But I can speak to this candidate being from a character point of view, from an emotional point of view, from like stage of life that this could be a good fit.
Yeah.
And so that for me is a missing piece that I don't really know that I've wanted to fill in because I don't, at this point in my career, I don't have the ambition to say, I want to be in this specific role and I want to work in this specific domain for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
A lot of the effective folks in this world, they've been 20 years in a specific department across, 10 different companies. And so they can speak to, oh, this is how that domain works, right? If you want a career in operations, I'll help you get a career in operations because I've worked in it.
Yeah.
And I know what the recruiters are thinking and I know what the companies need to see from you. And I can actually kind of jump in the trenches with you and find out where you're at from a skill point of view. And I can tell you this next role is the role you're going to need to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I feel like for me, there's something that takes the human out of that equation of just like, we're just going to manufacture more folks that fit a specific kind of cookie cutter set.
Yeah.
I've been more on the kind of the woo emotional side of, I see that you gravitate towards these types of opportunities. So I'm going to kind of help push you and encourage you to go after it, but I don't even know if you're going to be good at the job because I don't know how to vet your skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited for you to really get the opportunity to be in discovery in this.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things, so many places that you could go. And I think from my perspective, like this opportunity for you to be able to be in discovery around, how can I really actually show up in an impactful way in this scenario, whether it's on the recruiting side or whether it's on the individual side, like that in some ways is a part of this decision of giving that we often don't talk about, the back and forth logical discovery and deep thinking. And I think the only thing that I would caution around that is to use that as a hypothesis and not as I need to create a solution
before
I'm out there. Like, do some of this work to say like, okay, yeah, I think that this is a place that I could have some impact, and then discover a way to prototype that impact initially, instead of saying like, okay, yeah, that'll work, and then I'll move to this, and then this will come together, and you've got this huge plan, and then you go out and you try and test it, and how do you even start to test that sort of equation? And so as you're working through this, and it's going to be fun to just continue to interact with you around this space, around, yeah, what are some of the discoveries that you're making? What are some of the things that you want to move forward through? And as you start to identify those, look for ways to say, okay, that is a gap. How would I go about filling that gap? And then, you know, continuing to work from there. I think that you're just going to, if you can have this mindset of, I'm going to prototype and put into place, I just feel like you already have such a well of understanding that will quickly build out into, yeah, this is the impact that I want to have.
Yeah, I think my next steps are heavily influenced by me saying, I know I don't want to do these things, instead of me leaning in with curiosity and me, like, to your point, being interested in just understanding, and less of I need to have a pre-baked solution. Yeah. Like, to the point earlier of being a librarian or a coach, I know that I don't see true impact by just organizing other people's information, or by taking one-on-one kind of like shots in the dark with folks. Like, I'd like to bring a little bit of competence and a little bit of a new take.
Yeah.
But when you're lacking role models, it's easy just to let your decisions be, well, I'm doing this because I didn't want to do these other, you know, ways of making a difference, and I don't want to be a coach, or I don't want to be a recruiter for hire.
Yeah.
Like, right. I want to do something new.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think my next step is, to your point, be curious, don't have a solution. Let's go and talk to this recruiter that I've talked to 2 days ago. Let's follow up and hear and listen to the extent of, like, there's got to be something in there.
Yeah.
Something new that I don't understand about the realm of recruiting, that then I can take back to these candidates.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I'm excited about it, Austin. I love who you are in the space, and that's why I wanted to have the conversation with you as a starting point. And you know this about me, like, I'm not going anywhere. And so as we, like, continue to have this interaction around this topic, I'm excited to see what we start to nail down and then start to build from in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. It's amazing. I'm going to close this off
real
quick. Well, team, that's it for us. Let's go out in the world and create meaning, impact, and connection together, and learn from this experience that we just had with Austin, that oftentimes as we look through potential ways of being involved or creating impact in this world, we can get stuck on the sidelines of thinking through every way of solving a problem. And if we can turn that into an ability to listen and to look for opportunities for us to jump in and start to test out our skill set, we can over time truly have the impact that we want to have together. Talk soon.